And I remember going to a camp, one of her first camps. She didn't really know me. Today we travel a lot together on a global, worldwide basis. But I remember going to her and saying to her, you know, I really can't figure why people are so thick. Thick as a brick. Can't they see what they should be doing? To me, it's as clear as daylight what they should be doing. And I remember her laughing. Now, I want you to get the essence of the gospel here. And saying to me, you see it, they don't. That's why you have to tell them. The essence of the gospel is that it's a message. And that message triggers the reality that's in us. Because we have so many messages, we have so many things coming at us, trying to be who we're supposed to be. But in the simplicity of the message of Jesus Christ, our creative purpose starts, I'm using the word starts coming to the fore. So that we can see what our design is. There's not one person in this room that wasn't designed by him for a very specific place and a purpose. I can look through here, and if you wanted me to, I'd prophesy over each and every one of you, because this room is full of potential. Miles Monroe once said that he'd take people to the place where the most potential on earth is, and he told them to come and look, and he took them to a cemetery. Not so with us. Not so with us. And that's why I love the last 2 days I've been working with the young people mainly, and some of the young in heart that are not so agile anymore. But anyway, but there's something about this generation that is coming now that is very important. Prophetically, all over, you'll hear prophets start speaking about it. And this building into this generation, so that they are able to accomplish those things that you and I never did. That you and I had to build up to, so that they can take it from where we leave and move on with it. And bring that place where the glory of God becomes resident on this earth. Now, glory is not some woo-wee thing. It's something really simple. That word really just means God's view and opinion. In other words, they'll make it like God once sees it and has always seen it to be. You see, we think we should skate on a cloud and go, well, I like that too, but I mean, it's really about establishing the very ways of God, establishing a kingdom and manifesting it here on earth. And you and I have that responsibility as the sons of God. We have amazing technology at our hands. We have this incredible toolkit, unending toolkit, that helps us to be able to achieve those goals. The only thing is that we have not always heard the message of the person of Christ and our relating to him that brings about the life in us and then pours it out from us. Because that's how we're designed. We are givers of life. There's not one of us here that is not a giver of life. So how do we work with some of the paradoxes or some of the tensions in our lives? I just want us to turn to a scripture. This morning at intercession, I was very happy, because even I need to know whether I'm on the right track. In John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm just going to read one verse. I love John. I love the way that he's into this relationship with the Lord. And he's also the guy who speaks about the Holy Spirit probably to a greater extent than almost anyone else except Paul. So John comes and he says in verse 6, he says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the way. Now my mind works like that, the way to where? If he's the way, I got to walk there. There's another scripture that says he's the door. So he's an entry point into something else. He's an entry point that takes you from this point to another point that you're supposed to be able to see, you and I. There is a way in which he functions. Then on top of it, he says, I am the truth. So truth is not right and wrong. Truth is a person. Just like, well, I mean, today, how do we do it these days? I have to grab Alma's Bible. This is not the Word of God, it's Scripture. The Word is the embedded person of Christ, who is the Word. And that's why many atrocities have been perpetrated through use of Scripture, including apartheid. Because they never thought, they used it in its blatant, let's call it earthly basal form, to get what they wanted. Christ will always take you beyond yourself. He will always take us on the way down, not the way up. And as we go down, he raises us up. It's an amazing thing, and that's the way that this way functions. As we become servants, he raises us up to where we need to be. But let him raise us up. He is the truth. So when we are looking for truth in a situation, we need to find him somewhere in that equation, preferably in the entire equation. But how do we do that? What do I mean by that? Because you'll find that there are incredible paradoxes in the Bible. And the paradoxes create tension. Now, I'm coming to a point because there's some stuff we need to work with in your minds today. You're the right people at the right place. So I'm coming to a point in terms of decisions that you and I need to make. And we're going to look at this concept of truth. Now, at one end, we have the devil in our minds. True, he is a force to be reckoned with. And at the other end, we have Christ. We have a paradox with plenty of tension in between. Do you notice that? Now, between them, there's a line that creates this tension. Because we have choices to make as to where we'll look. We could go down this side and become totally aware of what the enemy is doing. Or we could decide, I'd rather see what Christ is doing. And in all of this, he's the truth. But there's a scale in between in which you and I make choices to move in. Now, right and wrong mentality person, black and white, which is often the prophetic, jump from the one to or the other. So they either land right in the devil's lap or right in Christ's lap. I'd prefer to land here. In other words, their point of focus goes from the one to the other. So we have to bring the message to bring clarity about where you're looking. Now, personally, and I'd suggest you all do that, focus on what Christ's doing. Because the devil is a defeated foe. You ain't going to see anything you need to use from him. So we have to turn our eyes and look upon Jesus. We have to turn our eyes and find the place that he's bringing in terms of our decision making. And many of us oscillate between the two. Let me use another example. That's just a kind of very extreme example. He says, be as gentle as a dove, one end. I like this is the positive end. That's the negative end. If you want to change seats, do it now, quickly. And as sly as a serpent. Can you see the tension in that? So where is truth in that line? Being as sly as a serpent or as gentle as a dove? Where's the truth? Which one is the truth? Come guys, you reg en verkeerd oukies. Which one's the truth? Jesus is the truth. Okay, that's very nice. Sounds very fluffy and wonderful. But it still doesn't help me. I'm a practical guy. I'm a farmer. So I really like practical stuff. So I really like to know that these things can work. So now we have this tension. Should I be a dove or a serpent? I know the church wants me to be a dove, so I'll just move a little bit more here. Yeah? But sometimes the truth is you need to be a bit sly as well. You need to edge towards slyness because there's wisdom in it. Can you see that the truth could literally start and stop here and start and stop at being gentle as a dove? Where do you position yourself in the decision you have to make? Now, this is often when we work with people because there's a lot of discerning in that. How do we position ourselves? Sometimes moet jy skelm wees met mense. Not in a negative sense, but in a sly way. Work with them with a little bit of wisdom. Actually, quite a lot of wisdom. Because hierdie, oh yes, jy so, oh look, you're just so wonderful. Thing ain't working. Have you noticed with some people that, oh, you're wonderful, just takes them deeper into trouble. So I'm not going to be gentle with them. I'm gonna use a bit of common sense and come at an angle with a perspective towards them so that I can pull them out of the fire. Can you start seeing that there's this scale that is happening? So Jesus comes, his disciples all going off, merry men, they're going to go on mission trip. Wonderful. And Jesus says to them, listen, when you go, I don't want you to take anything with you. Go and read it, it's in the Bible. I don't want you to take anything with you. Is this, let's say that's, we're going, this is the positive group, hey? So don't take anything with you. Because all along the way, you're going to be looked after. Completely looked after. Don't hassle about things. Then just a little bit down the line, he gets a multiple personality problem. And he says to the same guys who are going on another mission trip, when you go, take everything that you need with you. Go and read. Kind of tension here. Now, what the heck should I do? Well, let's just fill the car with all kinds of goodies just in case. Let's do the just in case message. Because I also know a lot of people, oh no, die Here sal voorsien, God will provide, tra-la-la. What's wrong with your hands? Where on that line am I now? So what is the truth? Sit on your behind and wait for money to fall from heaven? Because everything is going to be provided. Of kry jy en rot en doen bietjie werk. Die koeie gaan hulle self nie melk nie. Dink jy die Here gaan afkom? He's going to come. He send his angels to milk the cows. Oh, the Lord will provide. Oh, really? Do you see how we kind of get split personalities in this tension that's created in the scriptural saying? We're going to come to some of the situations in your life. I'm going to do a bit of mind reading in a minute. Go into the prophetic a little bit. So now we have these tensions. So we have what we see as complete opposites. And somewhere between them, we have to find the truth. Now, many of the decisions in your lives are about that. Where do I find the truth in this? I have been a businessman for my whole life. I've never worked for anyone else. I've always had my own businesses. And our family has farms, and I run the farms at the moment. But about 5 years ago, my dad came to me. My dad's turning 81 now, so he farmed until he was 76. That's young. What do you mean? Wow. Get a life, man. Still a spring chicken. I'm only on the way there. You only start maturing after 80. So my dad says to me, now I'm an animal scientist by profession, and I actually practice that profession professionally, hopefully. And my brothers, my brother and my sister come, and you know, everyone kind of looks at me because I'm the agricultural guy, and the agricultural guy doesn't want to do this. So with most things that I don't want to do, I go to the Lord about it in a quiet way, in an impartational way. I'm not a great talking prayer. I like this impartational, and it's a whole area we need to investigate of these download areas. The internet has taught me that. God downloads in us, and we have these downloadable conversations. And I eat for weeks and months on some of the stuff he's downloaded in me. So I didn't want to farm. Even though I have a huge passion for agriculture, but not milking cows. I didn't want to do that. I did started out as that. I started out on the farm. Got the cap, the t-shirt, and all the hail that knocked down all the crops. So I know all about what farmers go through. So you that romanticize about farming, get over it. It ain't so wonderful as you always say, but it is wonderful too, as people always think. There's a lot of challenges in everything that we do, including in what you're involved in. So I had to make a decision, so I just, out of being forced into it, I took over the farms. I booked myself into hospital twice because I thought, man, there's something wrong with me. My heart ain't going to hold. I was so stressed up about it because I did not want to do this. Everything in me resisted doing this, and yet I knew God wanted me to do it. Never mind my dad. I knew there was something in this, and I needed to figure this out, but it stressed me up so that I thought I needed a checkup because my heart's not going to hold. Twice. 3 years down the line, I finally make peace with it. Three blinking, terrifying years. Because I already had a full life without still having two farms shoved on top of it. So now what do we do? I'm talking to some of you here. So it took me 3 years to get in line with what God wanted me to do, with a lot of stress involved in that process. And when I made peace with it, grace came. What is grace? It's not a fluffy word that says you're a nice person. Grace is a very practical thing that God does in our lives. Grace is a divine influence upon our heart, enabling us to do that which we in our natural self are not able or willing to do. Listen carefully to that. Grace is all about enablement. It's supernatural power that comes upon us so that we are able to do that which we naturally don't want to do or naturally don't think we can do. And we have to access grace. And then it says the most wonderful thing about grace is that it's even unto thankfulness. Can I say that again? A lot of people, you need to, if you want to write it down, you can write it down. Grace will influence your heart. And it will enable you to do that which you in your natural self think you are not able to do. It will enable you, even unto thankfulness. Thankfulness is a work of grace. We don't just get it. When we're really thankful out of our hearts, it's because God, because we generally just don't have a capability for that. Naturally, we want to moan about the politics, about the country, about the economy, about ourselves. That's the worst kind, when we moan about ourselves. We need grace to get over ourselves for ourselves. So it's this power-written word that comes in that brings truth, that comes through the truth who's the person of Jesus Christ and teaches you and me or brings ability to your and my life where we are practically functioning. So my question this morning is, where do you need grace? Where do you need, first of all, to make a decision on what the truth of God says, even though you're kicking against it? We think and that this road to Jesus is just this, oh, we just lullaby, wonderful Jesus. And most of you discovered it's not like that. Am I right? But you don't tell anybody, lest they say you are not a good Christian, because your reputation is at stake. So you fake it and hope you'll make it. It's not like that. Grace is a very personal thing that comes very personally through Christ. And many of you need to access grace to get to make the decisions you've made. There's some difficult things that the Lord has asked of you. And in yourself, you think at this moment, I can't do it. A lot of it has to do with finances. And the Lord says, listen, I know you can't do it. That's why I gave it to you. You now need my grace. You now need to get immersed in me so that I can do the job. Have you noticed how much help I've sent? And we've spent 2 days now with a group that was here, starting just to sensitize them to see the help that comes. Because you and I can see in that world. How many of you see angels? Regularly. Okay, we got to work on that. So there's a grace subject already. Because it's supernatural, so we need an enablement to be able to go into the world that we actually come from. You see how it works? So we could say, no, we want to stay here, and we can do the character thing versus, now we're giving them, I think this is the positive, against the very spooky, wooky spirituality. Do you see the tension again? Where do we go? Maybe we need both. How's Christ designed for you at this moment to function? Where do you need to peg your decisions? In which area do you need to put that? Some of you are thinking about work, and I actually spoke to someone last night about it too, and you feel so frustrated in your work. You feel that you need to open something else up, and the Lord says, if you'd listen, He says, hang on a bit. Just stay in there. Now, to stay there is going to require grace. It's going to require for you to see that He sent the help that you need so that He can get you through this. So we want to open our eyes in that area and see what He wants to get us through, because He's the truth, not a specific viewpoint or an opinion. My opinie, my standpunt op hierdie onderwerp is die voor, tralala vir jou standpunt. My standpunt is Christus. Woe, gaan spiritually, woe. We throw things out like that, and that's what happens. Somewhere we have to make the decision as to where on the scale is He telling me to act? How does He want me? Because that acting brings the release for Him to do. So when, for instance, you're in a job situation that you're very frustrated in, and He says to you, and they all smile, I think, this guy's going to finish early. I normally am an early finisher. Ek het eintlik net gekom, want ek moet nou kom. Ek moet nou kerk toe kom. Moet ek kerk toe gaan? Of hoef ek nie kerk toe te gaan nie? What is the answer? I don't know, find your truth in Jesus. Put Him, find out where He wants you to be in that decision. So some of us need to make a decision to stay. And some of us need to make a decision to go. Which one is it? Because when you do that, it unlocks the ability for grace to function. Grace functions on movement, not on standing still. Where's it going to go? I don't know. So it's the one or the other. And the amazing thing that I've seen when grace starts working and we make wrong decisions, it turns us around. Because we're moving and we're sensitive in the spirit to start to see where He really wants us. Businessmen here need to make decisions on a daily basis. Where do we peg ourselves? I tend to procrastinate. I'm a little bit of a researcher. But I don't procrastinate too long. So I'm allowed to bring out the researching side that is in me, so that I can make good strategic decisions. And sometimes you who are sitting here need to, Lord, give me something here, because I can see there's stuff happening, people that need specific answers. But you need to make a decision on this line of tension. It's not going to make you feel better necessarily. It's just going to make that you have made a decision. And especially if you realize that the power of decision-making lies in you. You are more powerful in your life than God will ever be. You are more powerful in your life than God will ever be, because you decide how powerful He can be in your life. Nobody else. That's why we see that people, you decide how far you're going to grow in Him. You decide if you are worthy or not, because He already knows you're worthy. Get it? Ting, ching, da, lalai, lerke. Blaas die stof af. worthy. Oh, maar ek kan nie weet. Well, as jy nie wil wees nie, you know, but this is what the truth says. Hang on, let me just find my file of 1,000 reasons why I can't be worthy. Well, bully for your file. Knock yourself out with those 1,000 reasons. It still doesn't come past the test of truth that says you are worthy. It's the same with holiness. Holiness can't be attained. It's given. Isn't that amazing? He calls us what we are not because we are that. So what is he calling you that you don't want to get? You are so busy sorting out your sonde or your perceived sin that you've forgotten there's a whole kingdom out there that we need to investigate and explore in spite of my little issues, because I am worthy. Did the blood of Jesus work or didn't it? So we can make really well-grounded decisions. Oh, but you don't know what my mother did. Who cares? I don't see your mother written in you are worthy if your mother was nice. Or whether you came out of a good home or not. I know this sounds a little bit harsh. I don't see that. On your scroll, I don't see that because we've all got a scroll. I just see you are worthy to do this. You are worthy to be my son. And women are sons as well. And if you don't like that, read the scroll. You have the same authority when it comes to heavenly places. See what God has put on the next line of what you need to do. Can God do something? Does He want to place you in a position without you necessarily being qualified for that position? Yeah. Is it going to create tension in your and my life? Yeah. Because you're so young, Timothy. Die ou toppies gaan dit nie like nie. Want hier is hierdie snotneus hier wat nou kom wil sê hy wil baas wees. That wants to come and influence things. And God has put a lot of influences here among you. And you and I have to step out into that world so that we can see what is written over our lives. And then as a body, we can come together. It always works in community. And fulfill our function to the greater good. I want you to just quickly look at the person next to you. Just find someone and just say, thank God I don't look like you. He designed us uniquely. There's not one person here that looks similar. So in the uniqueness that there's just in the room in terms of facial expressions and what you look like, there's the same uniqueness in the pattern that we are built together. That unity is always built out of diversity. And we need to access that realm. It's not hidden from us. Those mysteries are made known. But if we don't realize we can access that realm, we never access it. So I'm going to do a simple exercise with all of you, just where you are, so that we can try and access that realm. Now, the guys that have been with me last 2 days, I said, oh, here we go. Okay, who are you going to come and explain? Who's this been? How are we going to do this? Come. Kom, wat ons gedoen het oor die voorhangsel. But you got to speak English.
Okay, so basically, we close our eyes just to enable us to use our imagination more, because our imagination, God has given us imagination, so we have the ability to step into that imagination and let Him guide that. So we close our eyes and we stand in a place of the tabernacle. But instead of the Old Testament, He has torn the veil. So it means that we have access to the Holy of Holies, not only the priests. So we stand before the most holy of holy places and we choose to step in while our eyes are closed. And then we let God show us what He wants us to see. So it enables us to see way more than what He has for us. Like we see everything that He has for us in that place of holies and of holies. So yeah, we have that access. It stands in the Word that we have access to the most holies of holies. So yeah, through our imagination, our emotions, we are led by the Holy Spirit to see what He sees. Yeah. So what we're basically going to do is, as Paul told us, is that everyone stands up and we close our eyes. Yeah, so it's easier if we just close our eyes. And just imagine you're right in front of that curtain. You're about to step into the most holies of holies. And whenever you feel ready, start looking around before you step through the curtain. And then whenever you're ready, take a step forward as if you prophetically step into that holies of holies. And just start to look around and see what God shows you.
Open your eyes in that world. Not here, you can keep them closed. But I want you to start seeing. I'm going to give you some examples. Last night, someone saw something like a pillar, and suddenly they realized it was alive with faces. What do the four faces of the gospel of Christ look like? The face of the lion, the face of the ox, the face of the eagle, and the face of the man. We have all four of those faces. In what face situation are you now? Because as Christ is, so are we. Because this is going to give you the ability to be able to connect into the world that we're from so that we can manifest on earth as it is in heaven. So I know it looks a bit wild and it's not true and now I'm suddenly flying and I don't really fly when I've tried here, it hasn't worked well. But fly, because you can. We're just honoring, thank you Father for these angels that have just come in. Sorry, I was just distracted for a minute. Lots of ministering angels have just come in now. And they're here for you. So thank you, Father, that they minister the scrolls. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that they come and minister what's on the scrolls to every person here. So that they can start seeing what they are made for. I actually see that for some of you, the Lord is opening it wider than you ever thought. You kind of thought, this is what I have to do. But God's already starting to make you think of your future, and I'll point you out in a minute or two when we have gone through this. But just start seeing those areas. could even geographically see certain things. Some of you, there's some business plans written on. And you've kind of been scared of business up until now because I don't have this or that, blah, 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 the old story. But you actually have technology built in you, in the files that are in you already, in the scrolls that God gave you to eat as a child, so that your purposes may be fulfilled. You are not just here. You are here with a purpose. Okay, enough of that. Step back. Let's not get too caught up there. This can be great fun. All right, we can sit again. Who saw something that you now, for the first time, realize you were allowed to see it? Anyone see? There's a couple of people here. That's experiences. Because that experience builds into you. That's why I love the whole realm of experiences. Because I want God to build into us. And I just started picking up a few things. So I'm just going to spot a few people just for the fun of it. Because I can. I feel God saying to you that you need, what's your name, Navi? Lodewijk, I feel the Lord saying you need to start looking further into the future and to start putting plans in place for further into the future. You've kind of planned up to a point with what you're busy with now, but He wants to pull you into something that's a little bit further than that. He wants you to start seeing the vision of where He's pulling you into, because once you see that vision, now isn't it interesting, the word vision is a sightly thing. Once you see that vision, you get pulled into it by the vision. And God puts the help around us that we need. So He needs you to see a lot of that. I don't know whether you've ever thought about the whole realm of business. Well, go and think about it. Ponder it. Start putting it out in place and see how it gets put together. Again, it's one of these things that we make a decision. And when He does that, because there's a lot of questions that goes through our mind, it says, I become stressful because how the heck am I going to get there? Just do that part that He said now. And then He'll roll out the next, because we move into that accessing of grace, the ability to access grace so that the plan can come about. What's your name, my brother? Yeah. Jock. I really see it. I see there's a spirituality around you. And you've kind of not been sure about how to handle it. You pick up things very easily, but you're not skilled in it. So it's like it can become even overwhelming at times because you're picking up so many things. And I feel the Lord wants to encourage you to carry on down that road. So you're going to need to get to a place where people train you how to become skillful in it. The thing, I just want to explain something on that. When we have potential, it is raw. And it needs to come out so that we can find the skill of how to be productive with that potential. Because the Lord needs you to see in the Spirit much more than you already see. At the moment, you think you see, you think, and you think you're thinking. But actually, you're seeing. And you need to be able, and I'm starting that now by saying you're actually seeing certain things, but it's a ramble and a shamble. You don't quite know, what do I do with it? What do I do with it? You know, how do I? So there's a training ground that the Lord wants to take you through so that you can bring accuracy into what you're seeing. Even the, and many of the things you think you're seeing for yourself, and it confuses you even more. And you're actually seeing for other people. By design, that God has made us to go beyond ourselves. And one of the biggest mistakes we make is we pull everything into ourselves. And then we become really confused. So God has designed us to always be beyond ourselves, to always be on the lookout for other people, so that we can bring that life into them. I'm picking on all the young guys. Sorry, Topish. I also feel that I want to encourage you, because that's why I really wanted to be here this weekend, was an encouragement. Novelaknis. Baitfos. I feel that the Lord wants to encourage, what's your name? Tinus. Tinus, I feel the Lord wants to encourage you to move through things. He wants you to go through certain circumstances. I see you trying to figure out, how do I get around these things? And I feel the Lord saying to you, go through them. Don't try and go around them. So walk in that place where you go through them. There's a many of us that need to walk through things. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Psalm 23, yet will we fear no evil. Many of us fear evil because our focus is on that side. But his promise says, yet will you fear no evil, even though you walk through that valley. You won't fear, even though that is still functioning within you. Who's got the t-shirt on Prophesy Over Me? Anyone? Jongens. What is your name? What's your name? Dewald. Dewald, I see that God is... There's an aspect in you of immense thought and intelligence that the Lord's put in you. And he wants you to move through that and to actually harness that at all levels. But what does it mean for you now? That's always the question. Because we can have these things and it looks wonderful, but there's a lot of work for you to get through to at the end of the day to where you really need to do. To be. And I'm going to say, I feel that in some or other field that you are very interested in and passionate in, it may even change slightly as you move on. Are you at university? But I feel you need to start already putting your eyes on a PhD. Do you need to do your master's? And so in this, I'm preparing your parents as well. I thought I'd just let him know, just in case. But there's something that God, there's an ability, and God's going to give you the exact things that you need to look at. And he wants you to move through those levels. And when you get there, you'll get the next point. But in this, you will have great influence. And that it's going to be something, I want to encourage you. You can take any project that you want to do. But I want to encourage you to go and see what is that thing that God wants you to do that makes no sense to anyone else as to why people would research that. There's something written on your scroll that is very different. I almost want to use the word weird. And God wants to reveal that to you, but you need to go and look. Get people around you who encourage you and strengthen you into finding out exactly what that's about. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Remember what Armo said, you're free to go. Now that I've bored you so effectively. But we're going to go into worship. But I want also... I really have a sense about the river of God. Something started this morning, and there's a river here. And the river, Ezekiel says, how deep do you want to go? So we're going to play, imagine. I do that a lot, that there's a river. because there is a river. I saw it here this morning. And I want to honor that realm, because when I honor it, what happens can happen. And I feel in that river is not just things that will become clearer to you, although it won't become clearer cognitively. There's a settling that's going to come in your heart. And when we worship, as you want to, I want you to move forward, because I'm going to move this away. And anywhere in the front here, I just feel, I actually saw it coming through the doors and into the place like this. And so I want you to find a place when you feel that the Spirit's leading you, because you have to discover how the Spirit leads you. Come to a place where in the worship, and while we're worshiping, you decide how deep you want to walk in. And you can take it from the back there. You can dive in the front here. Whatever way you feel like doing it, you're welcome to do it. But I want you to come in, and I'm going to trust God that that river of life is here to touch you. And I'll probably, they by now have worked with me before. They know I interject every now and again when I feel that the Lord's wanting to do something significant with specific people. But I want you to access this realm of the Spirit by this little exercise of walking in this water. And I want you to decide how deep you want to go in. You can go in ankle depth. I'm not going to push you a bit further in, although I'd like to. But, or you can go up to your knees. Or you can eventually go where the Spirit of God just pours over you and fills you up again. So Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. I thank you for this amazing river. Ooh. That just flows from the throne of God. I thank you that we can come and sit in it. Lord, we honor you that you give us this river of life. And Father, that life actually flows from the inside of us. It's not something we have to find in the exterior. But we can go and find that river, and we can go and sit, and clarity will come. Lord, I thank you for the realm of impartation, where you just touch us, and maybe during the week we suddenly realize what happened. You don't have to know now. But Lord, that there's something divine about the connecting between you and me. That there's this deep intimacy, and I can decide how deep I want to go in you. I can decide whether I walk in just up to my ankles, up to my knees, up to my shoulders, or I immerse myself and discover I can breathe underwater in the river of God. Lord, I just thank you that with each one you move in that, Lord, and I ask that those questions, those ones that have come and are very burdened, that have trouble with constant anxiety, that you're going to dissolve that when this starts happening. As they move, you want to come to them and you're saying to them, move into my river. I'm going to dissolve that anxiety. You're still going to have this environment and the circumstances that show the same. But I'm going to dissolve that anxiety. And you're not going to say, oh, I suddenly feel so really amazingly free, Galatians 5 verse 1. But yet, I have these problems. You can choose. So we're just going to worship together. Probably a good idea just to stand. That's only just to get the blood circulation going and to help you to move. Because God moves on those who move.